And if you would this morning, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We started a series last week entitled Joshua, Inheriting the Land. Looking to the Old Testament, because the Bible tells us that the dealing of God with the people of Israel were for the people of Israel and was for God's purposes to be worked in Israel, not only to know who God is, but also to know who the Messiah is. But we also see in Scripture that the interaction between God with the Israelites in the Old Testament is also for our benefit, so that we can learn. And so what we're going to be doing over these next few weeks is talking about the coming of Israel into the land of promise to receive their inheritance. Because there is an inheritance for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And if you believe that this morning, say amen. Amen. In fact, it's okay to be excited about receiving an inheritance. Amen. If I had a rich aunt, now I wouldn't say, I'm just thinking to myself, I wouldn't wish anything bad to happen to her. And I have three aunts left, and they're wonderful people. And one is very, very sick, and in fact started hospice this week, and we pray for God's peace and blessing on them and life and people our parents and our, you know, our families. They're to be loved, honored, and cherished. And I don't want to give the impression it's not anything about money. But if there is an inheritance waiting for us, and I think of maybe a young person who has a trust fund and waiting for them, and as soon as they turn a certain age, whether it be 18 or 21 or older, or maybe when they get married, they get that. They can be excited about that because that's a good thing, that's a blessing. And we have an inheritance as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that inheritance is, and actually all of our inheritance is eternal in nature, but some of it is yet to come. And what I mean by that is if you know Jesus, you have the assurance of eternal life. One of the great things about eternal life, and there are many wonderful things about it, is that we'll see Jesus face to face for eternity. We'll have full revelation of God. We will have brand new bodies in the name of Jesus. Anyone wake up this morning with any aches and pains? And not just, you know, something brand new. Where did that come from? An ache and pain that you've had yesterday, the day before, and you're most assuredly, unless God intervenes, are going to have tomorrow. Someday that's going to be gone. Tom is especially receiving that this morning. Bless God. But so much more than that. In fact, the deepest pains that I carry in my heart aren't the physical pains that I might have through, you know, arthritis here or whatever going on there. The deepest pains are some of the sorrows and losses that I've experienced in my life. If you know Jesus, someday you're not only going to receive a new body, but your tears are going to be wiped away. No more fear of death, no more temptation. How many are looking forward to that day as well? And forever we will be with the Lord. But the Bible tells us, and this is what we began to look at last week, and although the book of Joshua is our launching point, it will be the source of our series this morning, We're looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. Last week we looked at chapter 2, this week chapter 1. And it talks about the deposit that we have on our inheritance right now. It's not just something that we can look forward to someday in the future. Someday something good is going to happen. Right now there are many wonderful and great blessings in my life, because I am a child of the King and I have received and am receiving and will receive my divine inheritance. The Bible telling us in the book of Ephesians, the Holy Spirit and His ministry being a deposit on that inheritance in the name of Jesus. And having said that this morning, I'm so thankful that God not only sent His Holy Spirit to empower us, but to dwell within us. In fact, Jesus puts it this way regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It'd be like rivers, refreshing life, flowing from the innermost parts of our being out. And we'll talk actually a little bit more about that as we proceed through the message this morning. But as we read our text, and maybe I should have started with our text this morning, but as we look at this point of history in the people of Israel, and for those who maybe aren't familiar with this portion of Scripture, Joshua was written at a very critical time in the history of the Israelites. It was a time after God had delivered them from slavery in the land of Egypt, and it had brought them through a rather long journey through a very dry and difficult area referred to as the wilderness for a period of 40 years to finally their final resting place, their promise, their inheritance, which was the land of Canaan. A land that the Bible says that the Lord described to them as a land of milk and honey. It was a beautiful land, and I guess it's still beautiful now. Val, you've been there. John, you were there as well, and a gorgeous land in so many ways, probably even more so back then. And three things we saw in that. Number one, in our text. Well, let's read our text, and then we'll talk about these three things. Beginning with Joshua chapter 1, but as we read this, now think, and I'm getting a little ahead and actually talking a little bit about what we'll be talking about next week, which is the commission of Joshua. But think of Joshua's mindset at this very moment in time. Not only has he seen God do many, many things, he's been under the authority or leadership of the man Moses. And Moses, for lack of a better term, was a remarkable individual. God used him in a very, very powerful way. It was through the hands of Moses through Moses and through his word that God sent the plagues upon the Egyptians to move Pharaoh to release the Egyptians from the Israelites from the bondage of the Egyptians. It's through the hand of Moses that God parted the Red Sea so that they could walk through the Red Sea, two walls of water on the side, as we read the Scripture, walk upon dry ground. It was under Moses' leadership that they ate heavenly bread, manna, every day. God sent quail, water from the rock, deliverance from the enemies. On and on we can go about all these things. But to remind us that the people of God are not equal with God, Moses died. Because Moses was just a man. And now the responsibility of leading this great people into this land, which was a beautiful land, but a land that was inhabited by peoples who did not know God, who did not love God, who did not serve God, and who were giants. I don't know how tall they were, if they were tall as George, or if they were 8 feet tall, 9 feet tall, but they were certainly bigger than the Israelites. a more skilled in weaponry, and it was the responsibility of the Israelites to drive out these inhabitants so that they could possess the land. This was all coming upon Joshua. Listen to the words of God to Joshua concerning this great responsibility that he had and that we also have in receiving our inheritance. After the death of Moses, verse 1, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I'll give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's word together this morning. Father, we thank you so much in the name of Jesus for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this time that we have to come together. Thank you, God, that we have an opportunity to remember your suffering and death through the partaking of Holy Communion. How precious and wonderful it is. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share the bread of life, the Word of God, together as one body. As we do so this morning, we ask once again in the name of Jesus for your Holy Spirit's anointing to rest upon this, your speaker today. Give me words, Lord, to share, and give us all ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. And we ask these things in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, as I mentioned before, the things in the Old Testament are for our benefit as well as for the benefit of those to whom God was dealing with at the time. And regarding this point in the history of Israel, actually going into the land of promise and receiving their inheritance, we received as people who are promised an inheritance in Jesus Christ, we see three things. Number one, that you and I as God's children, and this is one of the things we talked about last week, and we'll mention it just briefly just in a few moments. But as God's children, the inheritance that we receive is meant to be full and complete. There wasn't one square foot of land in that area that God ordained the Israelites to possess that God did not intend them to have, to enjoy and to worship God on. And so it is with our inheritance. In fact, when we see Jesus face to face, our whole bodies are going to be made brand new. I'm not just going to have, and thank God, a new face. Maybe a little thinner, younger. But old hands. It's the whole thing. And as far as the deposit that we have now, God wants us to both receive and demonstrate it, have it demonstrated in our lives, in its fullness. Why? Because, number one, He loves us. In fact, the phrase used, and we'll see this in a moment, in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says as far as the promises or the blessings of God, they are things that God lavishes on us. When I think of someone lavishing a gift on you, you know, we just had last month a Valentine's. It's not just giving your sweetheart a rose. And I have to confess, I didn't get my wife a rose this year. But like, and not maybe even a dozen roses, but rose upon rose upon rose. You know, you see sometimes some guy, you know, he's just smitten with this girl and he wants to woo her heart. And so he just fills a room with flowers because he wants to demonstrate his love towards her. I never did that, maybe because I'm too cheap or just didn't have enough money. I don't think Raylene would have received it well either. Yeah, she's been young. But that's the idea here of God's blessings. It is the will of God that He lavished them on us. And our inheritance is to be full and complete. Secondly, just as there were people in that land occupying the land that God had promised the Israelites, there will be resistance to you and me receiving these blessings that Jesus Christ purchased for us on Calvary. And just briefly, some of these things are, of course, let me tell you, the enemy doesn't want you to have anything that God has purchased for you. And if you make the step to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and Satan can't, no one can separate you from the love of God. No one can take you out of God's hand. But let me tell you, he will try to make your life as miserable as possible. There's spiritual resistance. There's resistance from other people. We all, after we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we still have people in our lives who don't know God and serve God, or we meet people who do, and you know, either wittingly or unwittingly, they are, you know, instruments of adversity as far as what God wants to do in our lives, and will try to persuade us away from serving God and away from the joy of the Lord. And then there's, of course, the lust of our own heart, our flesh. Paul in the book of Romans talks about how the flesh wars against the spirit. And within us, until we receive those new bodies, there's still going to be that tug to rebel against God and serve self and lead us away from the place of blessing that God has provided for us. There's resistance to fully receiving our inheritance. But bless God, according to not only what we read this morning, but many other scriptures as well, we should not fear any adversity, no matter where it comes from, because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome every adversity and every resistance to whatever blessing God wants to rain down upon our lives. Last time we talked about the nature of our inheritance, and before we actually talk about possessing and living in our inheritance, so that God may be glorified in and through us, we started to take time to talk about what our inheritance is, and we began by just the basic definition. Inheritance is something that, a possession that we receive because we are entitled to it as family. And as I mentioned this morning, as we were partaking communion, before we partook of communion, when we receive Jesus, when Christ comes into our life, it's not just a matter of our sins are taken away. And that's very, very important. And that's something that should fill us to overflowing with great joy. But more than that, we are made part of the family of God. We have received the spirit of adoption, where we become the very children of God, even though before that moment we've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. According to the Word of God, we were enemies of God. Our hearts and minds were hostile against God. But when we accepted Him, we became His children. And that idea of adoption isn't that we become like second-class children. We become as much as children of God as if we were actually born by. I think of I think of adoption in this day and age, and we have several families here who have adopted children. And Larry, let me ask you this morning, since I think you have the most, although Bob and Darlene give you a run for your money. Of which of your adopted children do you consider any less of a child of yours than your own flesh and blood children? And I confidently ask you that as well. And Paul and Debbie as well. In the name of Jesus, just a number of families. I got to use Mary Ellen this morning. It's just great to see. So we have received the spirit of this is something we're entitled to because we are God's children. We took time to talk about what our inheritance is not, and it's not anything in this world. It's not riches or lands or gold. In fact, what does the Bible say about those things? And we're not even to think about them. Take no thought about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you shall live. God knows you need those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. I thank God I'm part of a greater, richer kingdom in the name of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's not as wonderful as it is. It's not people. You and I and those whom we might be privileged to share Christ with and perhaps lead to the Lord are not our inheritance. They are the inheritance of the Lord. And as we read last, as we talked about last week, as far as we also talked about the nature of our inheritance. How it is something that we don't earn, which should teach us how we should value what God has given us and never take it for granted. In fact, I can't remember if it was the first or second service last week, but I just really feel impressed to share it once again this morning. One of the reasons people who have a genuine experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, they ask Christ into their lives with tears, repent of their sin, receive new life, and then a week, a month, a year, or a couple of years later just fall right back into the world and fall out of faith with Jesus, is that they take the inheritance of eternal life in Christ for granted. Much like the prodigal son did when in Luke's Gospel chapter 15 when he asked for his inheritance early and spent it all on wine, women, and song. There's a reason why we partake of communion, and it's to remember that the only reason that we are here, the only reason we can experience and demonstrate these wonderful blessings of our inheritance and have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, is because of what Jesus, the Son of God, did on Calvary. He died. He gave His blood. And had He not done that, there was no hope for us. Never take that for granted. And we talked about that last week. And we also talked three things about the nature of our inheritance. Because we've received the spirit of adoption, we're seated in heavenly places. We're close to God, which means when we pray, our times of prayer, again, whether we feel it or not. And let me tell you, as people of faith, we need to move beyond feeling. And what I mean by that, and I'll use prayer as an example, sometimes when we pray, doesn't it seem like God is a million miles away and I don't think He's really hearing me? A person of faith says, even though I'm not really feeling it at the moment, I know in the name of Jesus that what I am praying is getting through in Jesus' name, because the Bible tells me as a child of God, I am seated in heavenly places. And because I'm seated in heavenly places, when I pray right, I'm speaking right into the ear. Sam, you need to move up closer so I don't have to walk back that far. And meaningful praise as we worship God. The Bible talks about also the riches of His grace, which talks about God's favorable disposition and right along with that kindness. We talked about how we're free people in Christ. We have, and that's brought out by the fact that we are citizens of the kingdom. But this morning I'd like to talk about some of the specifics of the inheritance that we receive from Jesus. That's more the things we talked about last week. Or more of the nature. But generally speaking, if I could just use one word to describe the inheritance that we receive in Christ, it would be in the person of the Lord and our relationship with Him. Like I say, our inheritance isn't lands, it isn't gold. It isn't the nations, those are the Lord's inheritance. It isn't people. People, we are the inheritance of the God of God. But our inheritance, and this is so key and critical for us to fully, not only fully experience the inheritance of God, but all the blessings that come from that, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Understand our inheritance is in Jesus, solely in Jesus, in our relationship with Him. Now, how do we come to that conclusion? And one of the early verses that gives us insight regarding that is an instruction that God gave Aaron prior to the Israelites entering the land of promise, when the law and all the different aspects of the law were established. And He gives us insight as far as what God's people, what God's people's inheritance is, and in His revealing to Aaron the reason why he and his tribe. And Aaron was at the time, prior to the scripture that we read, but at the time of Numbers, we're looking at the book of Numbers, he was the high priest, and his tribe, the Levites, were the ordained to be the priest in the nation of Israel. Gives us insight as far as what their inheritance was. And it was not the land. Everyone else, all the other 11 tribes, as they went into the land of promise, their inheritance was the land. There was a specific place that was marked out for them. You know, Judah was in the south, and Ephraim was kind of in the south, but over more towards the east, and so on and so forth. But listen to what God said regarding the Levites and Aaron. The Lord said to Aaron in Numbers 18:20, "You will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites." So they were to have no place. They were given cities, of course, to live, and they were given great responsibility. They had no inheritance. They had no set land that was their own, other than that there were 50 cities scattered throughout Israel that belonged to the Levites. And the reason was for that was because God was their inheritance. They had a very special role or calling upon their lives as Levites or as priests to be the only individuals by blood, by inheritance, to be able to minister unto the Lord on behalf of the people. Now you might be sitting there this morning and say, well, Pastor Randy, that's all well and good. Well, what does that mean? How does that apply to you and me today? And the answer is this, according to the book of, I believe, 1 Peter, forgive me for not having the reference scripture this morning, the Bible says we are not only a chosen people, we are a royal priesthood. We are the priests of God. Jesus is our high priest. And our inheritance isn't in so much in lands or nations or any, you know, anything on this world. Our inheritance, just like the priests of old, is solely in the Lord and our relationship with Him. And this is not just seen in just one obscure verse from Numbers chapter 20 or chapter 18, whatever it might be, but also in other areas of Scripture, most notably a very common Scripture, which I dare say all of you know, that being the 23rd Psalm. Verse 1 of that great psalm is what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, as I read that earlier this morning, I remember that, you know, I grew up in church. And I remember reading that, and I could never wrap my mind around Psalm 23, verse 1. Because it's like, why is God a shepherd that I don't want to have? I don't know if you... Am I the only one who thought that? For years I'm like, you know, it must be because of our nature or something, you know. God is my shepherd, but I don't want Him. You know, go into Romans and talk about that. But what that is saying is that in Christ, and in Christ alone, we have everything we need. The Lord is my shepherd. I want of nothing, or I lack nothing. He is everything I need. He is not only everything I need, He is more than enough. And we know that, not only should we know that in our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, but we know that in that self same psalm, because later on in that chapter, verse 5 says, He anoints my head with oil and my cup what? Runneth over or overflows. Not only does God satisfy our soul, He satisfies us to overflowing. Which relates to two things. Number one, it gets back to the fact that the blessings of God are things that He lavishes upon us or pours upon us in abundance. But secondly, there's a reason for that, and that's not just for us to feel good and gushy and just kind of overwhelmed. And I think that's great in and of itself. But isn't our divine purpose here on this planet not only to glorify God, but be an instrument of God to bless others? And could it be that God has blessed us to overflowing with joy and grace and all these other things that God has blessed us with, so that we in turn can be instruments of God to bless others and to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus, or people who are in a relationship with Christ closer and closer to Him? Our relationship is with Christ is to be overflowing in Jesus' name. Some specifics in this. Number one, as far as the elements of overflowing in our life is that of the righteousness of God, Ephesians, and we're going to be looking primarily at Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Number one, the righteousness of God. Ephesians 1:4 says, He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel holy and blameless. Let me tell you the time I feel holy and blameless the most. And I won't say one or the other, but definitely after times of prayer. You know, where I spent time with Jesus and part of the things I do and I spent time with God, you know, it just, God cleansed me once again. I don't come to God with condemnation, but I just ask God to wash and make me clean and brand new again, because things come into my heart and my mind and my deeds and my words that aren't pleasing to Him. And I thank God there's provision in the cross of Calvary to daily live for God and to daily receive forgiveness of sin in Jesus' name. But also as worshiping, you know, especially when we're worshiping together, I feel so good and clean, and the reason I do so is because the Spirit of the living God is resting upon me in the name of Jesus. And something about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, it cleanses by renewing our minds, which I find is something that we need daily. At least me in my life. I need, you know, because we're living in the world, and the world has its own way of thinking, own worldview. I need my mind and my heart and my spirit readjusted and renewed in the name of Jesus. And that comes through Jesus. It's part of our inheritance. Being able to live above sin, the shame of sin. I've done some shameful things, but I don't live in shame because my shame died on Calvary. And I don't live under the power of sin. I've been set free from sin and temptation. Do I struggle now and then? Absolutely. But bless God, I've been given everything I need to overcome sin in my life by the power of the Holy Spirit as I'm working out my salvation in fear and trembling. And I was going to say, I'm not perfect yet, but you all know that already. But also, I'm able to live in God's perfect righteousness, which is this. Romans 3:22. Some of these scriptures, Bob, aren't on there. This righteousness, talking about the righteousness of God, is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. A righteousness that comes by faith, which, along with other scriptures, lets us know, and this is something I've been sharing lately, and it's something that we have to get a hold of as far as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The highest expression of righteousness that you and I can have in our lives, not taking anything away from, you know, not lying, not cursing, and, you know, all those different things, not stealing. But the highest expression of righteousness that comes in our life is believing and trusting in Jesus, not only for our salvation, the salvation of our soul, but also our daily living. That God is with me, that God is watching over me, that God is leading and guiding me, and that God is going to not only use me, but bring me through every situation and circumstance that I might be facing. That is the highest form of righteousness, the righteousness that comes by faith. Interestingly enough, an aspect of our inheritance as children of Abraham. Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Jesus himself saying, if we have put our faith in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are the children or the recipients of righteousness. And is that not key and critical? To live that guilt-free life that we can live and should live because it enables us to live confidently in the world. That God hears me when I pray. That God can use me and will use me as I live my life, that God will get me through. Secondly, there's the aspect of sonship or daughtership, childship. It's even a word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. We've talked about this, and again, this is one of those satisfying and overwhelming aspects of our inheritance, our relationship with God, that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then what are we automatically under as God's children, no matter what? The same thing your children are under you, and that is the love of God and the grace of God. A rich man who has a great business with a lot of employees, and if he has an employee who's not up to snuff, what will he do to him? I don't want to work for you, Caroline. No, I'm just kidding. Absolutely, fire him. I'm sorry, we gave it your best shot. But perhaps you can find another. You give him the heave-ho. Perhaps you can find something better suited to you. But a father will never fire his son. He may discipline his son. And I'm not saying he would make him president of the company. But he'd never disown his son like a ruler or a businessman would disown or fire an employee because he's his son. What, since we're thinking, we're actually jumping all through the Bible, so bear with me this morning. Romans 8 says we've received the spirit of adoption. What do the concluding verses of Romans chapter 8 say? What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? And it ends with this: nothing can separate us from His love. Tomorrow morning, you may wake up and be the enemy of the world. Your father may hate you, your mother may hate you, your spouse, your children, your brothers, your sisters. You might be all over the news, cursed and hated, no place to go. I think one of the reasons that people are in such bad shape today is because they haven't found love. But if you know Jesus and you're walking in His inheritance, it may be sad that you don't have the love of others, but it doesn't matter because the love of God in your life is more than love, than enough. Everyone may spit at me, they might curse me, they might hate me, they might try and kill me, but the love of God is more than enough, and I feel safe and secure and strong because I am loved. Very quickly now, just two things, and I don't want to break this into three messages this morning. But regarding sonship, there's also the issue of authority, which is part of our inheritance. And as children of God, as joint heirs with Christ, we have authority. And the nature of that authority demonstrated to us in the life of the disciples Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. We have authority. There's nothing in the natural that is too much for you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because all power and all authority has been given unto Jesus. And we are joint heirs with Him. Now, having said that, let me just add a few quick things to that, because it's a very important aspect of our authority in Christ. Number one, the authority that we have in Christ is something that is holy and sacred, which means it is of God. And because it is of God, it is to be used solely at His discretion. And for us to be able to wield or operate under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be laying hands on the sick for them to recover or casting out demons, it must be, or any other calamity that people might be facing in their lives, it must be in the framework of what we know as the will of God. And let me share this little story to illustrate it. It was many years ago when we lived in Waterbury, and I don't know if I've ever shared this, but you know, I was working full time, and one of my jobs was to do energy audits on people's homes. I go into people's homes and, you know, look at the size of their home, the construction, the insulation, the windows, the heating system, and figure out what they were paying for annually for heat, and then also what they could do to save money. And I went to this lady's home. She owned a nursery, rather large, and one of her adult sons worked with her, and she wanted to have this energy audit done in her home, and so I'm getting ready to do it. And her son walks up to me and says, "We don't want this. Go home and leave." And you know, and the mother said, no, I want it. He goes, "No, you don't want this." And he came back to me afterwards, and he said, I want you to leave." And, he's this guy. He's the son. I think he was either my age or a little bit younger, you know. It wasn't like a kid telling me to do this. It was an adult person to leave the property. And I could have just, you know, pulled it, you know, put all my equipment away, my tape measure and whatnot, and left. But I stayed, and I did the audit, because even though he was someone who was in charge at the nursery and he was a son of the woman who ordered this and was someone who was due respect because this was his property as well, and that was his mother, he didn't have the authority to dismiss me. As far as me to do work on her home, that wasn't his place to say. And so I didn't disrespect him. I just ignored him and did my own thing. If I had my way, just thinking in my own limited human thinking, there'd never be anyone who's ever sick. Everyone would have more than what they need as far as finances and no time. In fact, you wouldn't have to worry about it. There wouldn't be hardship and trouble in people's lives. People would live to well over 100 years and just die peacefully in their sleep. Temperature would be 78 degrees. Maybe you'd like it a little cooler every day. No hurricanes and things of that nature. The will of God is a wondrous thing and a very complex thing. I'm not trying to diminish, and sometimes we don't see, I think due to lack of faith, we might not see God move the way He would like to move in a situation, but there are some times where we would like God to move in a certain way, but it's just for His own purposes. Sometimes for us to grow, sometimes for Him to be glorified in our lives. And let me tell you, you being faithful in serving Jesus through a time of difficulty is a very powerful part of a person's witness, as well as God delivering from a situation. You can believe all you want and command all you want. The only thing that's going to be done in this world is what the will of God is. And we need to understand that regarding exercising the will of the Lord, or the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not at our discretion. It is at the discretion of the Lord. And if we had time, I'd get a little bit more into it. For time's sake, we don't this morning. One last thing very quickly before we close. And Henry, if you would come. We also have as our inheritance the provision or the ability to pursue. And notice not just wisdom, but the ability to pursue wisdom. This is both an Old and New Testament concept, that wisdom is present for the believer, but it must be pursued. Ephesians 1, 7 and 8, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And just like everything else, and this I think does relate to Joshua and the Israelites and having to clear the land in order for them to possess it, so it is for wisdom. It is God's will and God's desire that each and every one of us live a stable life. I'm not saying, you know, if you know Jesus, you should be rich beyond measure. In fact, Jesus said the poor in this world are rich in faith. So you can reconcile that with your theology. we're not going to go there this morning. But as far as someone who is stable in life, they are sure, they are confident, they are making good decisions. And when I say good decisions, decisions that don't always make sense as far as the world is concerned, but that bring great benefit to the cause of Christ and glory to His name. But only if we pursue it. Part of our inheritance is the privilege to pursue wisdom. And when I think of wisdom, the person I think of in Scripture is the man, you know, one of the most wisest people in the world was Solomon. And it wasn't like Solomon, you know, prayed for wisdom, and he did pray for wisdom. He wasn't just sitting on his throne and God just downloaded wisdom and all of a sudden he got up and quoting, you know, C equals E3 squared. I used to know all that stuff. I don't know it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 3:13. Blessed are those who find wisdom. These are words of Solomon, who gain understanding. She's more profitable than silver. All its yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. And right along with that, James chapter 1. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Being someone who has a good, stable, sure life, and this is part and parcel of being someone, all these things kind of interrelate. Being someone who lives by faith and who trusts God is someone who is walking in the blessing of the inheritance of God's wisdom, which happens if we take advantage of pursuing wisdom in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning before we sing our closing song for the message today, I share with you the scripture that we closed with last week from Romans 14, 17. The Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Spirit." There's a telltale sign whether or not we're really in the process of receiving our inheritance. And let me tell you, I think living in our inheritance and possessing our inheritance is kind of a lifetime thing. It's something that begins when we accept Jesus, and as we grow in Christ, becomes more and more every day, more faith. We go from faith to faith, more wisdom. I talked about Solomon. He was a pursuer of wisdom. He just wasn't a download. He pursued it in his life, and God granted it. Your life is marked by those three things: righteousness, and again, the purest form of righteousness is faith, is trust in Jesus. Righteousness, peace, and joy, which can be summed up in just one word: satisfaction. I am spiritually satisfied because of my portion in the Lord Jesus. So I close with this today, as far as the message. Are you living in the lavish abundance of God's inheritance in your life? And the answer to that is, are you fully satisfied? Does your life demonstrate righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? If not, it's time to, and there are a number of reasons why we can get sidetracked either on earthly things or whatnot, or allow fear, many, many different things that can keep us off what our focus should be as far as satisfaction. But if not, today is the day where we need to renew a commitment to make the Lord our portion. Understand, my inheritance is not land, it's not gold, it's not anything that this world has to offer. My inheritance is of you and you alone. As surely as I'm standing here, as our portion is in the Lord, and as we delight ourselves in God, our lives will be filled to overflowing with righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost.